And you are listening to Old Morning Star, How Fair and Bright. Here we are back in 2017. This is our first broadcast of Law and Gospel. And we're with, on this Tuesday, January the 3rd, in the year of our Lord, 2017, we're with Pastor Mark Smith. Hi, Pastor.
Hey, Tom. Happy New Year. A blessed Christmastide and soon-to-be Epiphany.
Wow. So we got a lot of options.
Take your pick. It's all good.
Did you have, before Christmas, a good Lenten season?
A good Advent season.
Oh, that's right. Advent, yes. I'm looking forward to Lent.
I'm looking forward to Lent. You know, we have to wait till March.
We do?
It doesn't start till March.
Oh, boy. Then we...
What are we going to do with all that time, huh?
Well, let's see. I don't know what you're going to do, but I have a congregation I'm taking care of.
Well, I am too.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
Well, then what are you asking? So you had too much of a vacation, eh?
Oh, no. I could still use a few more days. Absolutely.
That's right.
Yeah, it was too brief. Christmas comes and goes too quickly for me.
But boy, there's, I think within a 7-day period, I did 7 sermons.
Wow. Same, you know, the same sermon each day, right?
Oh, no. They were, I think there were 4
from,
of them.
From the 7 previous years, right?
Yes. Yeah.
You're like one of these pastors that you stay for 3 years, and then in order to recycle the 3 years of your sermons, you move somewhere else.
They kind of figured it out when I began Christmas Day with, "We're really glad after 24 inches of snow today that you were able to make it." And I said, "Whoops, that's not true this year."
Or you have to watch those references to President Roosevelt, right?
Yes. Oh. Oh, morning star, how fair and bright. Such a tremendous hymn. Is it by Martin Luther?
No, not this one. Yeah, I had another hymn in mind that was written by Martin Luther, but not this one is written by, let's see. I have to take my glasses off here so I can read it.
Oh, boy.
Philip Nicolai.
I know.
Nicolai. Now, there's a familiar name.
Yes. Extremely important. Died in 1608, and therefore, in fact, he was born not long after Luther died.
Right. 1556.
Yes. So, O Morning Star, how fair and bright. And you know,
it's a pretty hymn.
This is also Reformation year.
That's right.
500th.
That's right. We are actually in the year.
Yes.
The 500th year.
Well, that's because they assume it was in October that he put up the various statements. But I really think the Reformation really started the year after with the Heidelberg Disputation. That was a lot better from a biblical point of view. Because when he posted, he still believed in purgatory, things like that. But Heidelberg Disputation in 1518 is just really tremendous.
Really tremendous. Isn't it? Wow. I know you put a lot of stock in that. Right?
I do. So if you would be so kind to read the first stanza.
O morning star, how fair and bright. You shine with God's own truth and light, aglow with grace and mercy. Of Jacob's race, King David's son, our Lord and Master, you have won our hearts to serve you only. It's an Epiphany hymn, of course.
It would be nice if you finished the first stanza.
Oh, of course, yes. It goes on to the next page. You are right. Lowly, holy, great and glorious, all victorious, rich in blessing, rule and might, or all possessing.
Now, we may not be singing that this Sunday because Epiphany is on Thursday.
Thursday, the 6th.
And Sunday is the baptism of our Lord and such. So I thought it'd be kind of good. In fact, tomorrow on Insight Wednesday, I might do some Epiphany reading, but we'll see. You know, it seems like we're always talking about John the Baptist from Advent on.
Oh, I know. Yes. Advent, you know, a couple of Sundays in Advent talk about John the Baptist.
Yes.
And now again.
He must be pretty important.
Oh, yes.
In light of the fact that you and I are today's John the Baptist, preparing the way of the Lord.
Right. For Christ's second coming.
Yeah, the sermons during Christmas, I had a lot of fun doing. And the point I was making is that the reason they're coming to church and Bible study during this season is to learn how to think like God, because by nature, we don't. And so in each sermon, I had a question that most people got wrong. For example, I was talking about blessings. You know, there's the Old Testament reading last week, the Lord bless you and keep you.
Right, right. The Aaronic benediction.
Exactly. And so I said, how do we get more blessings from the Lord? Do we get them by coming to church, coming to Sunday school, etc.? How do we receive blessings? And I said, would anyone disagree that that's the way we get them? And of course, nobody disagreed. And then I showed them that that was not true.
Oh, come on. Through the means of grace. Through the means of grace, he blesses us.
No.
Oh, okay. Okay, Tom. Okay, great one. Enlighten us.
Boy, here we go again. You think in 2017 you would have learned. You got to read what it says. He says to Moses, go tell Aaron
yes.
and his sons
yes.
to bless the people. And how does he do it? By putting my name on them.
That's right. And how he does that is, that passage was excellent because,
yes.
if people are ever tempted to leave before the benediction, they'll think twice about that now, because that's the very way that God said, this is the way you put my name upon those people, is through the benediction.
Well, I didn't agree with that.
Okay. I'm not surprised.
No. Because when did he put his name on you?
In baptism.
Yes. In other words, I said that when you hear the words, I baptize you into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's the proper translation.
Right.
That's when you are blessed.
Right.
And there's nothing you can do to get more blessings.
Well, how about the Lord's Supper? How about the gospel? Those things are also means of grace.
But you don't do anything.
No.
There's nothing you can do get more blessings.
Well, sure.
And I wouldn't consider the Lord's Supper more blessings than he's going to give you anyway.
Okay.
Remember what a blessing is. This is my definition. Maybe you'll disagree with me.
Probably.
A blessing is God keeping his promise to you.
Okay.
So I said, even when you are disobedient and you get punished by God, that's a blessing. Nothing happens to you if you're a Christian that is not a blessing from God.
I would agree. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Yes.
And who's the... You know Rick Warren?
I've heard of him, yes.
Yes. I started off my sermon with his new reformation that the way we get blessings from God is we put God first in money, relation.
Boy.
Well, you know how many...
Living under the law.
Well, that's the point. That's why I said the question I did and why nobody got it right, because I said in the world, you get blessings by doing things. Like,
right.
You go from one grade to another, you get promotions.
Right. You earn it.
Very good. Yes. You merit it.
Right.
Those blessings in the world are conditional. But in the spiritual realm, the blessings are unconditional. And
because Christ has done it all.
Well, this first verse was excellent. You shine with God's own truth and light, aglow with grace and mercy. No other religion in the world presents a God of grace and mercy.
I would agree.
Yes. When they use the word grace, they often think of it as a substance that God gives you to help you out, rather than his attitude towards you that he reconciles you to himself. He forgives your sins. He dresses you in the robe of righteousness. So the point I was making to the people in the congregation is, because you've been baptized, you will never, ever receive anything but a blessing from God, even in your suffering. I mean, remember Paul considered, and the apostles, when they were martyred, to be blessings because they were now going to be in heaven. Far better to be with Christ, Paul would say. But the point I was making, does that mean that you don't have to come to church and things like that? No. By coming to church, reading your Bible, doing Bible studies, it's not that you get more blessings. It's just that blessings change. So when you have a hard time, you are more comforted if you've heard the word of God and are thinking like God, like at a funeral. That's why we have a divine worship. But if you don't go to the funeral and don't hear it, he's still blessing you. But sometimes it might be a discipline of blessing or this sort of thing. I said, by the way, there's no evidence that you're being blessed. Because we don't live by sight.
Walk by faith.
Very good.
Not by sight.
And that's trust in his
trust
promises.
Trust in his promises, absolutely.
But there were only three people who put their hand up when I asked that question. Can you get more blessings from God by doing something? And I said, how'd you like to have parents like that? You come home from school and you say, I'm hungry. Your mother looks at you and said, did you fold your clothes and clean your room? Your dad says, did you mow the lawn and wash the car? And you say, no. Well, until you do that, we're not feeding you. I mean, how long are you going to stay in a household like that?
Not long.
And yet that's the kind of God every religion has.
Yeah, except Christ, except
Christianity.
Christianity.
Yeah, well said. So as soon as I saw this, aglow with grace and mercy, there's so much in this hymn that his truth and light is that he is, first of all, merciful. You know what that means. You don't get what you deserve. And then he's gracious, which means you get what you don't deserve.
Yeah. Give that description of mercy as opposed to grace again.
Yes.
What is that now?
Well, all three.
Okay.
Justice,
yeah,
in every other religion is you get what you deserve.
Right. Justice, you get what you deserve. And that's all the other religions.
That's right. And, of course, what do we confess in the Christian service? We deserve nothing but
temporal and eternal punishment.
Yes. So they want that? They're crazy. Mercy. If God is merciful towards someone, that means he's not going to give them what they deserve, eternal damnation.
Uh-huh, right, okay, that's mercy is we don't get what we deserve.
Right, and grace is we get
what we don't deserve.
Yeah, namely the forgiveness of sins.
And life and salvation.
Exactly, and that's why when you read here, Philip Nicolai puts that in there. This is the essence of the Reformation, that the reason Jesus is the morning star, he's fair and bright, because the truth and light he brings is the grace and mercy from God. Only God in the history of the world that is one that is gracious and merciful. And then, of course, they go right away to the historical. He's King David's son. And he has won our hearts to serve you only, lowly, holy, great and glorious, all victorious, rich in blessings, rule and might, or all possessing. Now that last phrase.
Can't argue with that, can you?
Well, I can if I understood it. Rule and might over all possessing. What does that mean?
Well, he possesses all. Everything belongs to him. Everything.
Okay, so the way to read that would, he is both the ruler and he has might over all things that one possesses.
He's omnipotent?
Yeah, that's
he's
good.
He's omnipresent?
Omnipotent means what?
All powerful.
Yes. Yeah, some people might not know the French. Okay. Stanza 2, please.
Come, heavenly bridegroom, light divine, and deep within our hearts now shine. There, light, a flame undying. In your one body, let us be as living branches of a tree, your life, our lives supplying. Now, though daily earth's deep sadness may perplex us and distress us, yet with heavenly joy you bless us.
We've only looked at two stanzas, and look at how many analogies or metaphors. He's the star. He's the light. He's from...
The bridegroom.
That's really big. Bridegroom. And the next line...
He's a tree.
No, before
that... As living branches of a tree.
Yeah, but before that, their light, flame.
A flame. Undying.
Remember Pentecost? The flames were there.
Right, right.
And remember, I love that best Bible study in the whole Bible. Road to Emmaus.
Yes.
And after he's talking to them, what do they say?
Didn't our hearts burn within us?
Exactly. Yeah. See, that's
wouldn't that have been a great Bible study to sit in on as they're walking along? Boy, have you ever thought about that?
Well,
I wonder metaphors, what pictures from the Old Testament he drew on, what illustrations, you know, and this, they all talk about me. You know, I mean, don't you get it? You search the scriptures thinking you find eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Jesus was showing, he was opening the scriptures to them.
We are now in our third month, Thursday nights at Trinity Lutheran in Orchard Farm at 7 p.m., going through Old Testament Bible passages that are fulfilled in the New Testament, all about Jesus. I'm up to over 300, and I'm going to have about 300 to 350. And I talked to Pastor Kurowski, a good friend of ours, and he said there are about 1,000. And I thought he was kidding. But then when I went through the psalm, like in one psalm, they may have two references, but there were five others you could find. Both the Psalms and the book of Isaiah are filled with references about Jesus,
right,
about the future. And so I could see how you could get to 1,000. And I don't know how Jesus got all through them in such a short time. It was only, a two-hour walk?
Well, I'm sure he just scratched the surface, you know.
Yes. Yeah. And...
But it sure opened their eyes and opened their hearts.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
It burned within them.
Burned within them.
Here you're hearing, all these things are happening. And then Jesus says, well, this is how they were to happen. Pierced in hands and feet. Whipped. Rejected by his own disciples. How many did he have to give before they said, wow, that means...
Bought with 30 pieces of silver.
Yeah, he's risen from the dead. Yeah. And then in the breaking of bread, he became apparent as to who he was. That's something. Stanza 3.
Lord, when you look on us in love, at once there falls from God above a ray of purest pleasure. Your word and spirit, flesh and blood, refresh our souls with heavenly food. You are our dearest treasure. Let your mercy warm and cheer us. Oh, draw near us, for you teach us God's own love through you has reached us.
It's six stanzas long, which is a little long for maybe an opening or a sermon, but do you... See, you can't remember whether you give out the individual or the common cup. I got a letter from somebody about that.
Oh, you did?
They said they laughed out loud when we had that conversation. You couldn't remember. That's why they listen to you and me on that day. Nobody else listens to me but Tuesday and sometimes with Wes. Do you sing a hymn during communion?
Oh, yes. Sometimes even two.
Yeah. Well, this would be a good one.
Yes, it would, right.
Because it's
right.
Six verses long. It's the hymn for Epiphany.
And there's a reference to the Lord's Supper, too.
That's the point I was just going to make here, that it's perfect for the Lord's Supper. And again, you get the metaphors that a ray of purest pleasure. You know, especially when it's cold outside and then you walk in a warm building or something. Boy.
Oh, man. Doesn't that feel good?
Oh, it does. Yes. You know, and so I sit with the front window open, you know, and looking at Louise shoveling the snow with the new shovel I got her for Christmas. Boy, it's just really. And then I'm so happy when she comes in because she's warm then. So I know exactly
what. How kind you are.
Thank you so much. refresh our souls with heavenly food, it says. And that, of course, is the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And it warms and cheers us. All right. I don't think we're going to get further than the fourth stanza, but would you read that, please?
All right. Almighty Father, in your Son you loved us when not yet begun. Was this old earth's foundation? Your Son has ransomed us in love to live in him here and above. This is your great salvation. Alleluia. Christ the living, to us giving life forever. Keep us yours and fails us never. Keeps us yours and fails us never. Right.
Yes. That first phrase is interesting. Almighty Father, in your Son, you loved us when not yet begun was this old earth foundation.
Yes, before the foundation of the world was laid, you loved us in Christ Jesus.
And what verse? Do you remember that from the first chapter of Ephesians?
Oh, Ephesians, yes.
Yeah, that's a predestination one.
Uh-huh.
And so a lot of people think, well, couldn't he have done a better creation, you know, and made us all love one another? And I think I told you there was a Roman Catholic priest who wrote 10 ways in which the world could have been created. And he ended up concluding that none of them were as good as the way that God did create the world.
No kidding.
Yes.
I haven't heard of that one.
Yes.
Because a Roman Catholic priest did that.
Yes. And he was just imagining how, because he hears it so often, oh, why did God do that? But you see, God could have had us never sin, but then we would have been robots.
Right.
We wouldn't have had free will in the area to disagree with God. And so it was really interesting. He figured out, therefore, that the way God did create the world, because from before the foundation, he had already decided to love us in Christ.
In Christ, right.
You know, a lot of people, I don't think, realize that.
No, no.
That before the foundation, he already loved us. And so they take a look at God and reject him. I was watching PBS had Sherlock Holmes on last night, and his doctor friend was talking about God, and Sherlock said, no, God is just a figment of your imagination, and you need to use reason and logic instead.
Oh, boy.
To figure things out.
Now, how would you, can I ask you, we got just a minute more.
Yeah.
How would you explain to somebody when you say God chose us in Christ, or he loved us in Christ before the foundation? What does that mean? He loved us in Christ.
Okay. The best way to do this is the way Jesus did with parables. He takes an earthly example, applies it, and then people understand it. And so let's say I'm talking to an individual who's married and they had a child. And I would look at him and say, didn't you love that child before it was even conceived? In other words, when you heard your wife was pregnant, did you have joy?
Yeah.
Oh, my. We were so looking forward.
And you'd do anything to protect that, you know, prenatally, that child.
The child.
Absolutely.
Before it came. Look how many people can't have children,
right,
and they go to adoption because they have that love there.
Yeah. That's good. That's a good illustration.
Well,
it's a good.
Of course it is.
That is good. Yes. Once in a while, you come up with one.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Once in a while. I'm going to get another letter. You guys always make me laugh. All righty. Guess what?
Time is up.
When you're preaching?
This Sunday. This Saturday and Sunday. Saturday at 5 p.m. We have a Saturday evening service, 5 p.m., and then Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Prince of Peace Lutheran Church of Crestwood, just south of the Watson-New Sappington intersection.
And I'll give you instruction about me later on in the week. Tom Baker, Mark Smith, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.